There are few things in life that are as consistent as change. Change happens all around us every single day. We watch it happen and pay it no attention. Slow down and you'll notice that day changes to night, and night will turn back into day. Summer changes to fall, and fall changes to winter. Winter changes to spring, and spring turns back into summer. Today turns into tomorrow, and tomorrow soon turns into the memory of yesterday. This year becomes next year, and next year eventually becomes last year. If you live long enough, you'll see good times become bad times, and bad times turn around and become good times again. You'll see catastrophes and triumphs, downturns and upswings. Many of us complain that change caught us by surprise. But was it really a surprise? Or were you just not paying attention? Welcome to the Edge, folks. Let's get sharp. All right, Father, I thank you and I praise you for another day of living, God. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence once again. I thank you for the opportunity to be with my family once again. Father, I thank you for a healthy body, a sound mind, God. I thank you for the gift of purpose, God, the gift of time, God. You are amazing. You are incredible. We love you, God. Father, and I ask you just to move through this group of people as we're speaking on this morning, God, and just make it good and fertile ground. Let their hearts and minds be clear enough to hear this word and to hear from you, God. Understand that I am just a man. I am just a vessel, God. So fill my mouth with the words that you want your people to hear on this morning. In the name of Jesus Yeshua, we pray. Amen. I hope everybody is doing amazing on this morning. So we're going to get down to business. So I just want to preface this whole thing by saying first and foremost that I am talking about me. Okay. I'm not talking about anybody individually. I'm not speaking on anybody. As I was praying, as I was preparing, I didn't have any in particular person on my mind when I was saying this stuff, except for me, for myself. I do have a ministry, that I'm developing called Savage Lifestyle Solutions. And my target audience is myself at 25. So I'm talking about me on this morning. So if there's something that has an impact in your life, if something that punches you in the chest, something that steps on your toes, something that gets on your nerves, something that makes you think, understand that that's the Holy Spirit moving and doing its job in your life, doing his job in your life. So the last couple of weeks, we had some young up and coming powerful ministers that brought the word of the Lord in October. And I am so proud of all of the people that shared. So just a few weeks ago, my lovely and amazing wife shared a word called turn left. And here is what I got from that word. Here's what the Holy Spirit punched me in the face with after hearing that word turn left. He said, you have a choice and you will always have a choice. Nothing and no one will ever take your choice away. And that includes God. He gave us a free will and we will always have a free will. But understand that laws don't necessarily remove choices. What they do is they add consequences. So if that makes sense to somebody, laws don't remove choices. They add consequences. So when God says, don't do this, that doesn't mean you can't choose to do that. If you look at Adam and Eve's situation, he said, hey, don't eat from this tree. You have all the other trees in the garden that are good for fruit and they're good for health and they're good to maintain you and to keep you strong. But this one over here, guys, I need y'all to leave that alone. If you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. And he said that to Adam and Eve. And of course, we know how the story goes. They ate the fruit and as a result of them eating that fruit, we are in the present condition that we are in today. And so a lot of times we make bad choices and we continue to make bad choices because the consequences of said choices are not immediate or not obvious. So if you can imagine with me, if you will, in that situation, if Eve would have bit that fruit and dropped dead immediately, we'd be living in a completely different world. It wouldn't be Adam and Eve. It would probably be something like Adam and Eva. The scripture would read that God put Adam back to sleep and he pulled another rib and he created another woman and he gave Adam this other woman. And the first thing that Adam said to this woman after he named her Eva was like, "You see that tree over there? You see them snakes over there. I need you to leave them alone. Okay. All right. Here's where the other one is buried. Please don't do that. No more. Okay. And then we move on with our lives and we continue to walk in the garden with God. And as we are all born and developed, we all learn to love and adore God. And we all learn to live and walk in our purpose. From the moment that we are born, there's no need for the fivefold ministry. There's no need for prophets, apostles, because we all have access to God on our own and God speaks into our lives. And we all become these amazing and wonderful people, all living in the presence of God, and there's no sin ever. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's the way the book ends. But obviously, we know that that didn't happen. So because these choices or these consequences of said choices are not immediate, at times, we get ourselves into trouble. So I think that freedom, or the freedom that we all cry so deeply for, is not necessarily the freedom to make choices. It's the freedom from the consequences of said choices. If that makes sense. So we want to be able to make those bad choices, but not receive the bad things that God said that we were going to receive as a result of said bad choices. So we want to be able to do whatever it is we want and not receive the negative consequences. I know Mike Tyson has this quote where people have become far too accustomed to saying disrespectful things and not getting punched in the face for it. And that's where we are. As a world, as a society today, we have these ability to make all of these foolish and silly choices and not reap the immediate consequences of silly choices. So what we want is to be able to sleep with whoever we want with, whenever we want with, whenever we want, and not receive the emotional consequences and not receive the physical consequences of having those experiences, even though they're wrong. The Apostle Paul puts it like this: all things are lawful, but not everything is expedient, which means, yes, you're free to do it, but it's not necessarily the best thing for you. And so we have to understand that as we make these choices, every time that we choose God's way, it's more beneficial. Just like we don't see the consequences immediately when we make the bad choices, at times we don't see the rewards immediately when we make the good choices. We understand that many of us want to be rich. And you know what? I've been on TikTok way too much this week. And there's a video that keeps coming up. And this dude's singing, "Why money ain't free? Why can't you just give it to me? I don't want to work for nobody. I just want to keep doing me." And that just rings. It brought a special satisfaction to my spirit. Like, bro, I get you. Like, why isn't money free? Why do I have to keep going to work? Why do I have to keep grinding and do something that I'm unhappy with just to get money to live my life? And the truth of the matter is, that's the world that we live in. We want to have money without working for it. We want to be rich. We want to have resources without disciplining ourselves, without being conscious and consistent, and not being disciplined and good stewards over our money. But we do want all the money to come to us. And that's what I'm talking about when I said, even you want to make these good choices and you want the rewards immediately. Okay, God, I did the right thing today, so where's the blessing? I did the right thing today, so I need something right now to hold me over. We have to fall in love with the journey. We have to fall in love with the practice. We have to fall in love with the process of doing these good things over and over again. And then eventually when the reward comes, that'll be a reward. But the lifestyle that we live will be a reward within itself. So that's some of the things that I got from that message. The next phenomenal young anointed speaker that we heard from was my sister, Rebecca. She's amazing. Look at her. All cute. You cute or whatever. You all right. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, that's my baby sister. And she had a word from the Lord, steep impact. And the thing that stepped all over my toes from that message, the thing that punched me in the face, was that God will not compromise his standard for you or anyone else. Now, again, please understand, I'm not talking about none of y'all. I'm talking about me, okay? But if the shoe fits, go on and lace that joker up, okay? And the shoe comes in different sizes and different colors, so you can pick whatever one you want, all right? But again, I'm talking about me. God will not compromise his standard for you or anyone else. You can choose to do things his way or your own way. And when you go looking for God, and this was the heavy part, he's going to be right where you left him, okay? And when you come back to him, be prepared to adjust. Now, those weren't the exact words she used, but just be prepared to adjust. Because again, he's not going to change the standard for you. You got to come up here. This is where I'm at. This is where I need you to be. If we are going to continue this relationship, then I need you to understand that I am not just Savior. I am also Lord, which means I'm going to deliver you from your mess. But after I deliver you, I need you to live your life in a certain way. Everybody who knows me knows that I'm a comic book guy. I'm a superhero guy. So I love superhero stories. I love the movies. I love the comic books. I love the cartoons. I love them all. And the thing that separates God from all of these heroes that I love and adore, Superman swoops in and he saves the day and he picks you up off the whatever and he sets you up and he's like, all right, good citizen, you have a great day, and he flies away. Batman swoops out of the shadows. He beats up the bad guys. He makes sure that that innocent victim is safe and doing well. And then he throws a smoke bomb and he disappears into thin air. He's just gone. But when Jesus shows up in your life, when Jesus appears and he delivers you and he lifts you up out of that miry clay and he sets your feet on that rock, then he extends his hand to you and you take his hand and he says, all right, my child, come on with me. This is the way that we're going to go. This is the way that we're going to move. And a lot of times when people quote Jesus, when they want to live their life however they want to live it, when they want to do the things that they want to do and they don't want to reap the consequences of said decisions, one of the things that they say was, Jesus never said anything about this. Jesus never said anything about that. He always was just full of love and compassion. But one of the things that I noticed about Jesus was in that particular story when the woman was caught in the act of adultery. So this woman is caught, and if I could paint the picture that I see in my head is, now she was caught in the act. So she was in the process of committing adultery with somebody. So she was in it. She was doing it. I do not think that they stood at the door and waited for her to be finished. I do not think that. They did not tap on the door and say, hey, we know what y'all doing in there. Go on and clean up. And when you get out here, we're going to stone you to death. That is not what took place at all. They probably kicked the door open, snatched her out from where she was doing. Whatever she had on is what she had on. They dragged her out of that house. They dragged her out of wherever she was, drug her through the streets to an open square, and then threw her down. And then they were getting ready to stone her to death. So whatever she was doing, it was paraded in front of everybody. She was exposed in front of everybody. And out there, she was getting ready to die. And what Jesus did in the midst of that story was he stood in between her and the people that were going to kill her. So in that situation, if we really think about it, they could have decided that, Jesus, you know what? You just as dirty as she is if you're going to defend her. And they could have stoned him too. So death was imminent for both of us, for both of them. But he chose to stand in between her accusers and her. And then he stooped down, as the story goes, he stooped down and he writes on the ground. The Bible doesn't go into description about what he wrote. And then he said, let he who was out sin cast the first stone. And one by one, from oldest to youngest, they started to walk away until nobody was left. And so he looks at this woman and he says to her, woman, where are your accusers? Where are the people that wanted to kill you? Where are the people that drug you through the street? Where are the people that hated on you? Where are the people that did all of these negative things to you? They're gone. So she's like, they're gone. And he said, go and sin no more. And that's the little piece that people leave out. They speak so much about the love. They speak so much about the compassion. They speak so much about the grace. They speak so much about the mercy. But they never mention the fact where Christ asked her to change. There was a certain way that you're living your life that is getting you into these situations over and over and over again. So he said to that young lady, you were making some decisions that got you into bed with that person and that literally nearly got you killed just now. So I need you to go and I need you to sin no more. I need you to go and I need you to make some different decisions. I need you to go and I need you to make some adjustments in the way that you think so that you don't keep ending up in this situation. So everybody likes to discount that part where Christ is like, yo, yes, come as you are. Yes, I'll be the sacrifice for you. Yes, I'm going to be the one that gets you to God. I'm going to be the one that cleans you up, that sets you right, that makes sure all of that sin and all of that ugliness is removed from you. But after I do that and after I get you into the presence of God, we're going to have to make some different decisions. We're going to have to make some adjustments. We are going to have to be different people. We are going to have to grow. We're going to have to mature. We're going to have to change. We're going to have to be better individuals. Why? Because I keep saying that God plays the long game, and I'm going to use your story. I'm going to use your testimony. I'm going to use the things that I've delivered you from to deliver somebody else. My God on today. Okay. So when you come back to God, be prepared to make some adjustments. Be prepared to change, okay? Come as you are, absolutely. But once you get into the presence of God, there's no way that you can stay as you are. Step one to coming up to God's standard is understanding that you will never be able to get up to God's standard. That's the whole reason why Jesus stepped into the picture, okay? That's the whole reason why he had to do what he had to do, because there was no way possible. When I tell you I've been studying, y'all, I have been studying, and I'm not saying that as a boast or anything. I'm studying because I need that. That's what I need for me. That's what I need to get closer to God. That's what I need to change. That's what I need to be more mature and be a better human being, because sometimes I get angry. I get frustrated. I want to fight. I want to cuss. I want to flip over tables. I want to do crazy stuff. And the Spirit of God and the Word of God is what helps me keep my peace and what helps me look at these situations that are so frustrating that I find myself in the midst of. And I can see how those moments and those situations are actually making me a better human being and developing me so that one day God can use me. And so I can see in the midst of that now, but understand that you'll never live up to this standard. Understand that step one, you got to humble yourself and go to God and go to Christ and say, listen, I don't have what it takes to live up to this standard. I'm not sin free. I'm not perfect, and I will never be perfect, which is why I need your sacrifice, which is why I need to acknowledge that you lived and that you died for my sins so that I can go into the holies of holies and I can be in the presence of God again. That's why I need you. I need you. The Bible says that who shall ascend the mount of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart. And then my next question was, who has clean hands and a pure heart? And the Holy Spirit was like, nobody. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were formed in sin, shaped in iniquity. There is no way possible that you can get to God without going through Jesus. That's why he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Yeshua is the answer to get us to God. Yeshua is the answer to get us to Christ, to get us to the presence of God. That's why the Bible says things like, all you need is a broken spirit and a contrite heart, because that's all we got is the humility. That's why he says, I'll give you beauty for ashes in Isaiah 55, because all we got is the ashes. And so we gonna need you to take what we got, run it through Christ's hands so that we can finally get to where God is. And then once we get to where God is, then that's when we can receive the change that we so desperately need. So we humble ourselves and say, we can't get to God without Yeshua. That's step one. Step two is we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because again, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay, I'm going to be where you are. I'm going to be where you need me to be. Thank you. So that you can live up to this standard that I've set for you. He's not changing the standard, but he's giving you avenues and ways for you to live up to said standard so that you can associate and be with him. So yes, we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so once we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit by being obedient to where the Spirit leads and the Spirit guides, we develop the fruit of the Spirit. And developing that fruit of the Spirit makes us effective disciples of Christ. And then that way we can plant seeds and grow others, grow ourselves and grow others. So those are the things that I received from those two messages. And so here we go. Three things that God is dealing with me with. Okay. Number one, God is sovereign. God is a king if he's nothing less. God is master of the entire universe if he is nothing else. He is sovereign. He is in charge, and he is worthy of honor and praise, and he is deserving of honor and praise, and we need to give him honor and praise. So that is the understanding that God is trying to impact me with, is that I am in charge. Okay. He's also in control. Like, nothing happens without his knowledge. And it seems like it's foolishness down here. It seems like it's going crazy down here. And it seems like God is completely out of control. But the truth of the matter is, he's still in control. That's why he says things like, all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Because every situation that we find ourselves in, he can find some way to make it work out for our good and work out for our benefit. And that's one thing that God is really trying to impact me with and help me understand, that all includes everything and excludes nothing. So every sad, tragic, horrible, depressing, and deplorable situation that we could ever, might ever find ourselves in, God is going to find a way to use that situation to develop us into a better person and to ultimately get the glory out of it. The second revelation that God is trying to really hit home to me is that God loves me. Okay? And I know that word is for everybody, but this is, God loves me. He cares about me. He cares about my individual situation. He cares about my mindset. He cares about my hopes, my fears, my dreams. He cares about all of that. Now, he will find a way to get me to stop desiring things that are not of him and get me to start desiring things that are more in line with his purpose and his character and his calling on my life. And that is sometimes difficult to understand, because I can be so passionate and so amazed and so intrigued about something, and God will almost remove that thing from my life because he wants me to go in this different direction. And I have to be able to accept God removing the thing that I thought was so good, that I thought was so amazing, that I thought that was going to be the answer to everything in my life. And I need to be comfortable with God removing that and giving me something else and moving me in a different direction. And it can be so difficult sometimes, but that's the way it has to be. And having the understanding that God loves me is the thing that kind of gives me the peace when stuff starts getting removed. When stuff starts getting shaken up in my life, when stuff starts getting difficult in certain areas, when the frustration hits, when the anger hits, when the sadness hits, when the depression hits, sometimes I have to just be like, you know what? If I'm going through the situation, the God who is sovereign and the God who loves me is bringing me to my third point, which is God has a plan. So this God who is sovereign and this God that loves me has a plan. And if the plan requires me walking through the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, then that's the way we got to go. If this God who is sovereign and this God who loves me has a plan, and it requires for me to go through a difficult situation, it requires for me to associate with a difficult person, it requires for me to go through some hardship, to go through some struggle, then I have to trust him. And so a lot of the things that I've been studying these past couple of weeks, months, has been in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And I love you, Aunt Shirley. You are definitely hearing from the Lord because you read Ecclesiastes 3. And there's a time and a place for everything under the sun. And one of the questions I want to ask everybody is, what time is it now? There was the sons of Issachar. Blessings, Sister Lisa. Blessings. But there was the sons of Issachar, I think, where they knew the signs of the times. And that needs to be us, where we know what time it is. And Aunt Shirley just went down that list in Ecclesiastes. There's a time for this, and there's a time for that. There's a time to build and a time to destroy. There's a time to kill. There's a time to make war. There's a time. What time is it, mature people of faith? What time is it? And that book of Ecclesiastes is so deep because it is written by Solomon. And if we know the history and the story behind Solomon, Solomon was the wisest and the richest man in the world at that time. And he lived his whole entire life basically with the ability to make any choice that he wanted to make. He could choose the right thing. He could choose the wrong thing. He had the money. He had the resources. He had the wisdom. He could do whatever it is that he wanted to do. And at the end of his life, he sat down and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And you know what he said in that book? All of it is meaningless. All of it doesn't mean anything. All of the riches, all of the women, all of the relationship, all of the wisdom, all of it means absolutely nothing. But he framed it with these words, under the sun. And that under the sun has a deeper revelation for me today than it had for me for the rest of my life. What it means is that all of the things that we crave, all of the things that we chase after in this life are absolutely meaningless if we do not have that connection to heaven. If we do not have that relationship with God, if we do not have his wisdom, his character, his purpose, leading and guiding our steps, leading and guiding our decisions, leading and guiding our motives, leading and guiding our desires, then whatever it is that we might attain at the end of these decisions we make is completely and utterly meaningless. You are going to live. You're going to do some stuff with your life, and then you are going to die. And if you do not have a connection to somebody to make it all worth it, then it will ultimately mean absolutely nothing. And I believe that's kind of the world that we're living in today. And that's why people are making so many silly and foolish choices. It's because they don't have this connection to God. They don't have that purpose. That's why suicide is an option for so many people. Because what is it all for? People used to be afraid to die. Not no more. Death is nothing to be afraid of. I was speaking to a mentee of mine a few years ago, actually. And one of the things that we talked about when he said, I don't want to kill myself. But sometimes I wish for death because it would be peace. It would be, I wouldn't have to make any more decisions. I wouldn't have to be worried about anything. I wouldn't have so much anxiety because it would just be quiet. And so when death becomes an option, when death becomes a plan B or a plan C, I could go to this college or this college, or I could commit suicide. What is up, good people? This is Mike Savage, and I wanted to come on and personally thank you for listening to my podcast. Do me a favor. If you enjoyed it, give it 5 stars. If you know somebody who needs to hear this message, share it with them. If you want to keep up with my content, follow me on Instagram at razorsedge_podcast and on Facebook at Savage Lifestyle Solutions. If you want to reach me or book me to speak, reach out to me by my email address, michaelsavagespeaks@gmail.com. I love you, and I look forward to hearing from you. Wow, but that is literally the world that we live in when we consider it under the sun, when we consider it without the connection to heaven, without the connection to God and that higher power. So some of the things that I've been thinking about, I don't know if this is necessarily a part of the message, but I just want to share it with you. I really just want to talk to somebody sometimes, and y'all are here. We're all family. So one of the things that I think about a lot is time is probably the most powerful and the most valuable thing that we have on this planet. It's the one thing that you ain't getting no more of. Yesterday is gone and it is gone forever and you will never see it ever again. If I was to lose some money, as painful as that would be, I could go to work and I could get some more money. Okay. But I can't get another 5 minutes with my sister. I can't get another hour to hug on my wife. That is gone. I can never get that again. And if time is so valuable, one of the things that the scripture says is that your money or your treasure is where your heart is. So your heart is where you find the most value. And another thing that the scriptures say is that you can't serve two masters. Like, you can't serve God and money, because if you serve two masters, you're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to cleave to one and you're going to despise the other. So if you serve two masters, then you're split. And one of the things that I've been thinking about recently is that if time is so valuable and we can't serve two masters, why is it that we say we love God so much and we say we adore him so much and we say we want to do his will so much, but we can spend maybe 2-3 hours with him in a week, but then we can spend 60 plus hours chasing the bag at the job? And I'm like, okay, that's just something that I got to sit with, that I got to steep in, Sister Rebecca. I got to just kind of like let that revelation work out in me, because I will show up on this job. When I'm angry, I go to work. Like, when I'm frustrated, I go to work. When I'm beefing with my wife, I'll go to work. I mean, I go to work. As long as I'm on the schedule, I will show up and I will do what I'm supposed to do. I could be frustrated. I could be angry. I could hate everybody in that place, but I will be right there. And that's the way I've been since I've started working 20 some odd years ago. I've been working my whole life, my whole entire adult life. And the one thing that I know how to do is keep a doggone job. Like, I know how to do that. And so God is really just kind of showing me, like, what's really important here. And I had to have a discussion with my wife just last night, because I believe that God is carrying us in a certain direction. And I have to be faithful to the things that God says. But I also have to honor the responsibility that God gave me in caring for my wife. So my responsibility as a husband has to be important. It doesn't trump the relationship with God, but I find that every time I go into a season of fasting where I'm really seeking the face of God, God will always make sure that I'm associating and taking care of my wife properly. So whenever I keep God first, God keeps me focused on the relationship and on the marriage. And so I think that's important to say to everybody out there, especially young men who feel like we're going to go get this dream and we're going to get this and we're going to grind and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And you're disregarding your responsibilities in favor of the purpose, in favor of the dream. And that's not the way things go. You keep God first. Absolutely. You keep God as the priority. Absolutely. But what God will do, and he does it every single time, when I go into a season of prayer, when I go into a season of fasting, I could be on my face crying out to God, Holy Spirit moving. Hi, yeah, 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 yeah. I'm talking about tears flowing, sweat flowing. I'm going in like, yes, God, I want you, God. And he said, all right, go and get your wife a glass of water. I'm like, what? Like, you supposed to be dropping deep revelation. Go get your wife a glass of water. All right. So I get up. And as I walk into the kitchen, I can hear her in the bedroom coughing. So I'm like, all right, so that relationship with my wife is paramount. That's the thing that he wants me to focus on. So the point of this whole story was for me to say this, that I had to explain to my wife that I get it now. I understand where your concerns lie. A few years ago, when I said I wanted to quit my job and go full time into my ministry, into my business, she started crying. And I was like, what are you crying for? Like, this is God. I'm moving into the vein that he wants me to move in. And she said, Michael, I don't trust you. And I'm like, what? Like, who think you talking to? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not a cheater. I don't be out here in these streets. Like, I love you. But that was not what she was referring to. This girl has been around me since I was 19 years old. And so blessings on Shirley. This woman has been around me since I was 19 years old. So she is familiar with my habits and patterns. And she explained it to me that I could be fired up about this one thing, and then 3 months later, completely forget about it and move on to the next thing. And this is 20 years of her being around me and watching me do this. And so now you're about to remove 2/3 of our income and put all of that pressure on me so you can pursue this thing. And I don't know, maybe 6 months from now, you're going to be sitting on the couch watching TV, not thinking about it no more. And all of the pressure is still going to remain on my shoulders. And I didn't get that in that moment. It took me years to come to that revelation. Like, oh, this is what she's talking about. It's not that she doesn't trust me as a husband. It's not that she doesn't trust me to be faithful with her. She doesn't trust me to be faithful with a business. She doesn't trust me to be faithful and consistent with something that I said that I was going to be faithful and consistent with, because she's watched me not do that. She's watched me do the exact opposite for years. And so I had to assure her. I was like, listen, I get it now and I understand, and I will make sure that I take care of my responsibilities as a husband first. I will make sure that we have a roof over our head. I will make sure that we have clothes on our back. I will make sure that we have food to eat. I will never, ever abandon that responsibility. That comes first. But we're going to have to make some sacrifices, because I know that God is calling me higher and I cannot abandon that thing. So here's what we need to talk about. Here's what we need to discuss. What decisions are we going to make so that money is no longer what we worship? Money is no longer what we spend 90% of our time going to get. We have to make some decisions right now, today, so that we can have finances for this next move of God. Because the point of the matter is, I know that this is not just for me. I know that God is moving us all forward into the things of, I know that God is moving every single one of us forward. And in this next season, money cannot be the issue. Money cannot be the issue. So it is time for us to shift our mindsets and become better stewards over the things of God. It is time for us to shift our mindsets and make whatever sacrifice is necessary to secure the bag. Because when God tells us to move, I don't want up, but God, I need this job. But God, I need, it's not going to be no excuse. It's not going to be no reason. It's yes, Lord, is the answer for every single one of us. Yes, Lord, is the answer. God is really showing me like what is really important. I came to my wife yesterday like, yo, what's keeping us here? Blessings, Aunt Shirley, blessings. What is keeping you here? Like, like your job? I'm sure it's a really, really, really good job, but I need somebody to explain to me what's so important about that job that you can't walk away from it tomorrow. Is it your insurance? Is that what you're concerned about? Is it the paycheck? Is it the car note? Is it the mortgage? I need you to really answer that question for yourself. Not just me, but I need you to answer that question for yourself. If God were to say, I need you to move here and I need you there in 6 months, ready, go. Tell me what would keep you where you are. And I need you to really look at that thing and say, is this really that important? Is this really something that I need to stay here for? Because I've had the same job for, like I said, in 8 days, it will be my birthday in 8 days. But the funny thing about me is I started the company that I work for. My first day on the job was also my birthday. So in 8 days, it will be 14 years that I've had the same job. 14 years, that's the longest that I've ever had any job. 14 years on the same job in that time. Whew, that's another revelation, because I've been praying to God to give me discipline and praying God to give me consistency and commitment, because obviously these are the things that I feel I don't have, because every time I pursue something, I always give it up so quickly. But God showed me like, okay, You've had the same job for 14 years. If that's nothing else, that's at least discipline. That's at least consistency. And that's at least commitment. And it's not that you've had the same job, even in the same position in that 14 years. You've been promoted 5 times. In that 14 years, you've received awards. You've received invitations to work at other places. You've been received invitations to work and lead at benefits and parties by your peers and by your leaders. So obviously you have commitment, you have discipline, and you have consistency. I've been with the same woman for the last 11 years, married to her for 9 of them years, okay, working on 10 of them years. That's at the very least discipline. That's at the very least consistency. That's at the very least commitment. So all of these things that I've been praying and crying out to God for, God is like, you already got it. You got it, son. You just need to shift your attention and shift your focus into the area that I'm telling you that you need to go to. This is why I need the Holy Ghost. This is why we all need the Holy Ghost. Distraction is something serious. And my mild ADHD that I got, I don't even know if it's all that mild, but I know I got it. So you just need to focus. You just need to remove some things from your life. You just need to calm down and really focus on the things that I'm telling you to go. I need you to go in this direction. I need you to go in this direction. I was just watching this clip on YouTube. This dude named Wall Street Trapper. Obviously that's not his real name, but that's his like thing. And so he went from when he was 14, he was telling his story about how he used to sell drugs. He shot this dude. He went to jail for 10 years. And he said that the jail time was the best thing that ever happened to him. Why? Because it removed all other distractions. This is what gets us all in trouble, is distractions. Okay. So he literally had nothing else to do. All of his needs were met. He had a roof over his head. He had 3 meals a day. He had a place to sleep. He had clothes on his back. So he didn't have to worry about that, but he had nothing else to do except read and learn. That's it. That's all he had time to do. And so it's time for us in this next season. Number one, money can't be an issue. And I feel the Spirit of God saying that heavy to everybody. Money cannot be the issue. So we have to discipline ourselves. We need to find a way. I am not a financial guy. I don't know what it is that we need to do. I know Financial Peace University is a huge thing that a lot of people in my family have done, and it works. My brother just paid off all of his debts just a few months ago, except for his mortgage. So obviously that thing works. He paid off his student loan, his wife's student loan, all of that. But anyway, we need to find a way to secure another stream of income rather than trading hours for money. Whatever that means to you, whatever opportunity that means to you, obviously approach it prayerfully and under the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. But whatever that means, we need to secure the bag without trading money for, or without trading hours for money. We all need to get there, because this next move of God cannot be concerned about, we can't be concerned about finances. And the other thing is, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. Have to. Okay, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And I've finished writing. I've read everything that I wrote. So this right here is really just the Spirit talking. So whatever it is, if you got your pen and paper, now's the time to start writing it down. We can't be concerned about money. We have to be led by the Spirit. Have to. It has to happen. So, and also this is going to be a season of sacrifice. This next season is going to be a season of sacrifice. Okay. And that's why I was talking about earlier. What if God tells you to give this thing up, what would be stopping you from giving that thing up? And I need you to really assess the importance of that item. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. So let me talk about me. I said, I'm not talking about nobody. I said, I'm talking about me. So what we really need to discuss is TV for us. Because we got Netflix, Hulu, we got Amazon, we got a bunch of stuff. 2 big old screen TVs. And now if God was to say, I need you to cut this subscription, this subscription, this subscription, take that money and start saving it. If God tells you to start saving 50% of your income tomorrow, tell me what you would have to give up in order to do that. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. So if you believe God blessed you with a car, but now you got to work extra hours to pay for that car, that is not making rich without sorrow, because there's plenty of sorrow on the back end of that. If God tells you to downgrade your living environment, what does that mean? If God tells you to work another job for a season, so get some extra hours over here and take all of that money, however much it is, put it towards debt, put it towards savings, put it in an investment account. I don't know what it means. Money can't be an issue. We have to be led by the Spirit, and it's going to be a season of sacrifice. God is taking us somewhere as a church, as a congregation, as the people of God, and we have to be ready to make the move. All right. Now, where do you want me to go? Okay. So last week, my sister gave us a homework assignment. So I did my homework, and I'm going to share the results of my homework. So I was supposed to ask two people, so I guess I'm halfway done. I asked Desi. She's the closest one to me. That's my wife. And so I asked her, what am I good at? And she said, you are an amazing speaker. You're an amazing friend. You are an amazing leader and teacher and preacher. You're awesome at that. You're really, really good at that. So I really appreciate her saying that. That was just really nice for me. Then I was like, okay, so what's holding me back? And here's where the bullets come. She said, you, full stop, period. You are holding you back. Anything you put your mind to, you can do it. But for some reason, halfway through that thing, when you don't see the results, you give up on commitment. And God is, and the part of that God is trying to work out in me is the faithfulness without the reward. Because the reason we keep going to this job is because we get a check every week. If they stopped paying us tomorrow, wouldn't be no issue. Like, obviously you don't need me no more. And so what happens when you pursue a goal and you pursue a thing, and God is trying to get you to fall in love with the process. He's trying to get you to fall in love with every decision, with every choice, with every push up, with every good meal eaten, with every walk, with every moment spent in prayer, that you have to find joy and affection in this faithfulness without reward. God bless you, Aunt Shirley. God bless you. But yeah, you gotta be faithful without necessarily getting the immediate award right after that. And that's what God is trying to work out in me. And that's why I always give up after 3 months, 6 months, after a couple of weeks, after a couple of workouts. Because, all right, I done did 100 push-ups and my chest don't look no different. I'm saying I done walked every day for 2 weeks and the scale only went down a pound or whatever. I've been eating the way I'm supposed to eat and ain't nothing shifted, ain't nothing moved. But, you know, like, blessings, surely. Ain't nothing shifted or moved. You know what I'm saying? I got a little bit more energy. You know, I'm not as winded as I used to be, but my body don't look no different. And the whole point of me doing this is for my body to look different. So I'm not doing this no more. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. This is my situation. So that's the thing that's holding me back, is that I give up too easy. It's me. I'm not consistent in the area that I want to be consistent in, or that God is directing me to be consistent in. So that's what's holding me back. And then what is my blind spot? It's very similar to my sister. It is people. Now, hers is more relationship based. When she gets into a relationship with somebody, she wants to be their friend. My thing is, the gift shows me the potential in people. The gift shows me sometimes what God wants to do in people. And I don't want to give that up when these people show me who they really are, if that makes sense. When these people show me that they're not committed to change, or that I'm more committed to the change in them than they are, then I don't want to let them go. I keep giving them chance after chance. I keep giving them opportunity after opportunity. I keep pouring my life and my time in these people who do not want to change. And sometimes you got to just let them go. And sometimes I don't want to let them go. And especially on my job, I'm super guilty of this because I've in this last couple of years, I got promoted and I'm finally in a position of leadership and management. So I can help get people promoted. I can help people move forward. And so I give them tasks and I give them jobs to do. And I forgive points and I forego discipline so that they can, you know, move forward and get to where they're trying to get. And they can see that, okay, he really likes me. So he's going to let me get away with this. And he's going to let me get away with that. He's going to let me get away with this. And so I get taken advantage of. And so it's time for me to just, you know what? God bless you, Sister Lisa. It's time for me to just really be direct. All right. This is what I see in you. This is what God showed me. But if you don't want it, then there's nothing I can do about it. God bless you, baby. There's nothing I can do about it. And so I need to continue to do my job. If that means I need to bring discipline, means I need to cut you off for some things, then I need to learn how to be able to do that. And then it's my job to plant a seed. The sower sows. It's God who gives the increase. One plants, another waters. God gives the increase. Maybe in this season, I was only intended to plant the seed. I was only intended to do a part of it, to water. I was only intended to give you that initial piece of inspiration and motivation and then let you go and learn your lesson. And I have to learn how to let go. So that was my homework that I needed to do. Thank you, Sister Rebecca, for sharing that word, for being obedient to the Spirit. And thank you for giving that assignment. As difficult as it was to hear some of those words, it was definitely beneficial. So I'm going to pray. And then, of course, I'm going to give us the opportunity to really just tap into the Spirit and allow that the Spirit of God to really speak into us beyond the words that I'm saying now and make that thing individual and tell us, God. So, Father, we thank you and praise you. We adore you. We honor you. You are so amazing. We thank you, God, that you are sovereign. We thank you, God, that you love us. And we thank you, God, that you have a plan for our lives. Father, give us some answers. Be specific in this time as we sit before you in your presence. And we just listen to the words that you have to say to us, God. So, Father, right now, as we take our pens and our papers and we just get quiet before you and we listen, we ask you to speak as you always do. We will listen and we will obey. So for the next 3 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, setting my timer, just be at peace and listen. 3 minutes starting right now. There is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Jim Rohn says it like this: it doesn't really matter how smart you are or how much you know if you don't use it. Better than knowledge is applied knowledge. Knowledge is defined as familiarity or awareness of information, but wisdom is defined as the action or decision regarding the application of knowledge. Let me try to make this as simple as possible. You can know the exact steps to take to make $1 million. But at the end of the day, that's just knowledge. You can have that information inside your head and still be broke. Knowledge does not become wisdom until you act on what you know. So to all my faithful listeners, please take the knowledge that you are hearing each of these episodes and turn it into wisdom. Remember, you are not a mistake. You, my friend, are a solution. I love you, and I'll see you on the next one.